Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, for all it teaches us. We pray that you'll open it to us this evening, that we will learn from it, be encouraged by it, and instructed by it. Amen. Well, good to be back with you again after the summer break, and autumn seems to have well set in now, so the nights are coming on and so on. Anyway, what are we going to learn from this slightly curious passage in Genesis? It's an important passage because it looks at Abraham and his relationship with God. But it's curious because there's a lot of different things going on. And I'm not going to go through it verse by verse this evening, you may be pleased to know. But I want to pick up the major themes in the passage and see how those work out. Now, when I was a student, I used to have to go to the bank for some money. I'd write a cheque, get £10 out, and hope it lasted for the week or so. Then along came credit cards, taking the waiting out of wanting, as I'm sure some of you will remember the phrase. Now we have ATMs, and when it says insufficient funds in the account, you have to go back to the credit cards. And mobile banking, the cashless society, instant purchases, Amazon Prime delivery within a couple of hours. We don't even have to wait for a weekend shopping trip, do we? Instant gratification, instant response to what we want, is the order of the day. And I think sometimes that mentality can apply to our relationship with God. Do we expect quick answers to our prayers? Do we expect God to respond as quickly as Amazon Prime does? Well, as we look through this passage in Genesis, we realise that God does respond. God is faithful. He does hear us. But he doesn't always answer us immediately. His timescales are often very different from our timescales, but they all align with his purposes. And as Abraham builds his relationship with God, we need to learn from his experiences and to understand for ourselves what God is teaching Abraham, to see how that can apply to our relationship with God as well. And we need to do that in the broader context, because we are part of this ongoing story. We're part of the story that started back in Genesis chapter 12, when God promised to Abraham that he would be the father of a great nation. Because Abraham did indeed become the father of a great nation, but not only that, we are part of that nation. Galatians chapter 3, verse 7. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed with Abraham, the man of faith. All who believe and trust in Jesus are children of Abraham. We are part of this great story which starts with God's promises to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. So as we read Abraham's story, we must let his experience be our instruction. Let his example be our inspiration. And know that his goal is our goal. He was looking ahead to living in the land that God promised him. And as we'll see a little later, that promise evolves into the new creation that God promises that we will inherit. So I want to pick up these three major themes as we go through this passage. Firstly, God's purposes worked out through his promises. Secondly, Abraham's faith worked out in his response to God. And thirdly, God's revelation of himself to Abraham. So firstly, God's purposes worked out through his promises. As I said, in Genesis chapter 12, God calls Abraham. He promises that Abraham will be the father of a great nation. And that's more than a promise. It's his covenant. Covenant's a great biblical word. God is a God of covenant. But we don't always appreciate the full nature of covenant, because it really means contract. God makes a contract with Abraham. If God could be bound by law, it would be a legally binding contract. So God's promise is his contract with Abraham. And his promises show his purposes. Because as we go through the Old Testament, from Genesis right through to the end of the Old Testament and on into the New, we see how God's promises work out. He promised that Abraham would be the father of a great nation. We see how God calls a people for himself. He promises to build them into this great nation. To do so, he rescues them from Egypt. And then he gives them the land that he's promised them, a place where they can become this great nation. And that promise is fulfilled as the tribes settle in the land. They become established. The nation of Israel becomes firm in its identity. And eventually that promise is fulfilled, isn't it? In the church. We are the fulfillment of that promise. As God's people from all nations, built into the church. His purposes worked out through his promises. Through his promises to the patriarchs, to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. Through his promises to the nation of Israel, through Moses and the prophets. Through his promises to David that he would be the head of the royal line of a kingdom that would never end. And the fulfillment of that prophecy to David in the birth of Jesus Christ. God's purposes worked out through his promises across the ages. But in this passage, we see one step in God's purposes. One step in that great plan. He's made his promises to Abraham. And now we see him making that promise to Isaac, even before Isaac is born. Chapter 17, verse 19. God said, "Yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him." God had promised to make Abraham the father of a great nation. His next promise is that promise to Abraham will be fulfilled in its next step through Isaac. Step by step, God's purposes are revealed through his promises. And we know that we can trust his promises. We know we can trust his promises because the last step in those promises was the fulfillment of them in Jesus. The descendant of David, who was to be king forever. The one who would be our saviour. The one who would redeem his people. And if he was prepared to keep that promise in the hardest way possible by sending his son to live and to die for us, if he could keep that promise, then surely he will keep all his promises. As Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20, "For all the promises of God find their yes in Jesus Christ." All the promises of God find their yes in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the culmination of God's purposes. All his promises find their yes in Jesus. So God's purposes are worked out through his promises through the ages. But how do we respond to those? Well, let's see how Abraham's responses to God's promises worked out. And how can we learn from what he did? Well, going back to Genesis chapter 12, God made his promise to Abraham. And he called him to leave his home in Haran, somewhere at the top of the what's now the Persian Gulf, and to travel several hundred miles through unknown territory to Canaan. Abraham was about 75 at the time. He up sticks, took his household, his family, his servants, his livestock, trusted God and set off into the unknown. He got to Canaan, set up his home there, found it was a good place to live, and settled down as a nomadic sheep farmer. But after 10 years, there was no sign of the promised son. No sign that he'd be the father of a great nation. No child to take his bloodline on. So we read in Genesis 16 how he took matters into his own hands. He took Hagar, Sarai's maid, as his concubine, and Ishmael was born. A son. Surely the one who, when he grew up, would inherit all Abraham's goods and take on God's promise. But now we're 14 years further on, nearly 25 years after Abraham heard God's call, and Abraham is told that Sarah is going to have the son. Sarah is going to be the mother of the promised heir. Isaac will be the father of the great nations. Not Ishmael, not Hagar's son. So what was Abraham doing? Well, firstly, he laughs. Start of that passage in verse 17. How ridiculous. I'm 99. Sarah is 90. She's long past childbearing age. how can she possibly be a mother of a little baby boy? How ridiculous. And anyway, God, what about Ishmael? He's a lovely boy. I've nurtured him. I've put my energy into him. My love is poured out on him. What about him? What mixed responses, aren't they? Excitement about his encounter with God. Laughing at the absurdity of God's promise. And worried about his beloved Ishmael. How do we respond to God's promises? Well, I think there's a number of strands for us to come to pull together out of this. Firstly, we need to remember that God keeps his promises. God keeps his promises. Sometimes the waiting goes on and on. And on. It was 25 years for Abraham. For the nation of Israel, it was another 2,000 years before Jesus came. It's been 2,000 years for us waiting for the promise of his return. God's timing is always right, but that may not seem so to us. You may be waiting. You may be praying. You may have been praying for years. Be patient. Keep praying. God keeps his promises. The second thing to remember is that God can do anything. How ridiculous, said Abraham. I'm 100 years old. Sarah's 90. She stopped having periods years ago. There's no way she can have a baby. God says, there is nothing too hard for the Lord. Chapter 18, verse 13. Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Nothing is too hard for God. Keep praying. Keep on praying. Believe that nothing is too hard for God. There's a story a little bit off as a tangent. We had some friends many years ago called Gordon and Ruth. And they had a little daughter who was about 7 at the time. Gordon and Ruth had married late, and they were, I would think, well into their 40s at the time. Their daughter was about 7, 8. And she loved dollies. She always had a dolly in her arms. And she desperately, desperately wanted a little brother or sister. And Mummy and Daddy had always said, no, we're too old, you know, we can't cope, we're too old. She comes back from Sunday school one day and said, Mummy, Daddy, Sarah had a baby when she was 90. It's not too late for you. You can imagine Mummy and Daddy's reaction to that one. God may not answer us in the way we expect. He may not act in the way we want, but he is able to do anything. So keep on praying. I can say this here because none of you know my family, but we are facing at the moment a very difficult family situation with a relationship breakdown. It's very difficult to see at the moment how that can be reconciled. But all we can do is trust that God can bring about reconciliation. And pray and pray. Only God can heal, but He can heal. We just have to keep asking Him. So whatever your situation is, remember that God can do things. Nothing is too hard for Him. Keep on praying. And the third bit of Abraham's experience is this, isn't it? What happens if we try and preempt God? If we try and take matters into our own hands? Abraham got impatient waiting for God, and Ishmael was born. The first thing to see is that God doesn't condemn Abraham. He doesn't punish him or Ishmael. Indeed, he says Ishmael will be greatly blessed. But he says that Isaac is my chosen way to fulfill my promises. He will be your heir. Your focus must turn from Ishmael to Isaac. So what happens if we do get impatient waiting for God? If we try to take matters into our own hands? Because often we can be in a dilemma, can't we? We're praying for God to act in a situation. And we don't know whether to wait for God or whether to push on in faith and maybe get something wrong. I don't think there's a right answer. But I think what we see from Abraham is that even if we do make a mistake, God will make it right. God will always fulfill His purposes in His way. And our failures, our digressions, the times we wander from God's path, they're not wasted. Because through them, our faith still develops and grows. We have to walk by faith, and sometimes we might get it wrong. But God doesn't condemn us. God doesn't put us down. God will make it right, even when we make mistakes. One commentator puts it like this: as long as we are not ignoring His signals or indulging our self-will, He is shaping us for His service. What is most important about our faith is not what we are doing, but who we are becoming. As long as we are not willfully disobeying God, He is shaping us for His service. He is transforming us into the people He wants us to be. Even when we wander, God is maturing us, moulding us, growing us, and changing us. Keep on praying, trust God, and push in faith. So Abraham trusted God. And as a sign of that trust, we read how he and all his household were circumcised. It's worth remembering that we started this passage in the middle of a conversation between Abraham and God, which I think you looked at last week, with the promise of circumcision. Now, halfway through the passage that we've just read, Abraham and all his household were circumcised. God makes His promise to Abraham, makes His covenant with Abraham that He will bless him. Abraham has nothing to offer on his part of the contract except obedience and trust. And circumcision is a sign of that obedience and trust. We read in Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. He heard God's call in Haran on the Persian Gulf. He travelled hundreds of miles to somewhere he had no idea about, trusting God that it would be a good place to live. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. Abraham trusted God by faith. So did Isaac, so did Jacob. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. God's promises to Abraham that he would be the father of a great nation, but also Abraham was looking forward to the fulfillment of all his promises in the renewed creation, the new city of God. So as we come to Christ in faith and in trust, just as Abraham did, we too have a sign of our faith through baptism rather than circumcision. But we share that same hope, don't we? We look forward to God's recreation, the new creation when Jesus returns. And so Abraham's faith is our example, trusting in God, working with God, following God, looking to the fulfillment of all those promises. And finally and briefly, we see God's revelation of himself in this passage as well. We see how he starts to reveal more and more of himself, what the theologians call progressive revelation, through the Old Testament. In chapter 17, verse 1, Yahweh says, I am God Almighty. El Shaddai is the Hebrew. I am all-powerful. I am the one who can do anything. And then in chapter 18, we see God coming in person to Abraham, one of these three visitors, revealed as Yahweh after the conversation with them. Chapter 18 and verse 10, we see that the Lord said to Abraham, one of these three was Yahweh himself, coming to promise that Sarah will have a son, reminding Abraham that nothing is too hard for Yahweh. Because the promised God, the personal God, who meets each of us and knows us intimately, is also El Shaddai, the all-powerful one. And he's also the creator who works in his creation. The one who was working to enable Sarah in her old age to conceive naturally, to bring a child to full term, to give birth, and to look after that child. God comes into his creation, working in the natural order with a new burst of creative energy to bring about something new. The all-powerful one is the one who meets us personally and the one who works in his creation, because nothing is too hard for him. As Christians, we trust in that same God who revealed himself to Abraham and who reveals himself to us in Jesus Christ, the one who continues to work out his purposes through his promises. So as we trust in those promises, we have to walk in faith as Abraham did, learning from his example, holding fast to the promises even when God seems to be far off and not listening, trusting, praying, waiting, believing that nothing is too hard for God Almighty. And looking forward with Abraham to our eternal home in the city built by God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Abraham's faith. We thank you for the way we see him trusting you through thick and through thin. We pray that you'll help us to be sure of your promises, to hold fast to them even when times are tough, even when it seems that you're not listening, to trust that you will honour your promises in your time, because you can do anything. Give us that faith and help us as we look forward to your eternal kingdom to be sure of your love for us in Jesus Christ. Amen.